bringing together more than 1,000 attendees, 50 speakers happening over 2 days with 18 specialized sessions. It's the largest youth conference for the Al-Sharq or the Middle Eastern region that has taken place in Istanbul. And it looks back at the unprecedented impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, followed by the invasion of Ukraine and how this has shaped social, economic and political norms and the opportunities that it has presented for alternatives. We are joined by an attendee, our very own South African, Bilal Basiouni, who is also a member of the Al-Sharq Youth and a political analyst for his thoughts on the conference and the discussions that have emerged from it. Bilal, great to have you on board this evening on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan, Ibrahim, for having me. It's a pleasure as always.
Absolute pleasure, and very interested to look at what this conference is all about, what Al-Sharq, particularly relating to the youth, is all about, and what its potential impact you foresee it to be. Let's start off with a bird's eye view. Al-Sharq, I know it has many components to it. Just give us a background of what the Al-Sharq Forum is all about and how do the youth fit into that?
Sure. So Al-Sharq, this conference coincides with the 10th anniversary of the founding of Al-Sharq. It came out as an initiative from the Arab Spring, or from the events that happened after the Arab Spring, trying to network and bring like-minded youths together from different parts of the world that have similar values, principles, and objectives for the region. So year after year, of course, the contextual elements around the Middle East have changed, and the Al-Sharq, the conferences have tried to interrogate and also propose ideas and solutions for the events that have been taking place throughout this period. So we have been, the last conference that took place before this one was in Malaysia in 2019 because of the pandemic, of course, and the events that happened in the world during that period. We have again been reunited in Istanbul for the largest conference that has taken place since its founding to try again to re-understand and interrogate those new dynamics that have taken place that affect the region and affects the youth in particular. So Al-Sharq, again, as I've mentioned, is a platform that can and enables you from different parts of the region. We have from Mauritania to the west, right, to South Africa in the south, and from Malaysia to the east. All members from different countries come over to this conference to partake in this type of conversation.
The Al-Sharq, linguistically, would identify itself with a particular region. From what you've just told us, membership would be extended far beyond that as well. How does that work?
Absolutely. So Al-Sharq is not just for a particular from a particular geographical space. It's more about people that share these kind of these values and principles of social justice, socials of societal change, socials of progress, and values of progress and development, and so on. So people that share these values from around the world come together to share their experiences and so on. So we've actually had a hub in South Africa, and myself was a founding member of this hub. Inshallah, we'll be looking to re-engage with this hub in South Africa in the future as well. But basically, anyone that's interested in these shared values that I've just mentioned is more than welcome to join the network and be part of the Al-Sharq family.
So a question that comes to mind is this kind of expression that takes place, and we may not, even yet going into the content of the conference, bringing together people from, if we're talking about, and I know this would be problematic terminology, but just for people's understanding, the Middle East, you would have a number of countries where, that very concept is very frowned frowned upon, highly policed, and so forth. And, you know, literally people are dying, people are in prison serving life sentences and the like for simply expressing themselves. How then would you get people represented from those countries and comfortable themselves to attend your forums, your symposia, and speak their minds?
That's a very, very good question, Brother Ibrahim. So, of course, as you know, people from these countries have also been in immigration or have escaped these conditions in these countries for since the crackdown on freedoms in most of these in these countries have taken place post the Arab Spring. So we actually in Istanbul have a very large diaspora of people from these different countries that have taken refuge in Turkey and elsewhere in the world, that find an opportunity to reimagine their future and to come and interact with other youth and speak their minds in a platform that allows people to be open and people to have these candid and frank types of discussion. That's why Istanbul is an ideal place for these type of discussions to have, because of the presence of many of these refugee communities in a place, and also for the opportunity for people around the world like myself that can't, that is able to travel, to come and have this opportunity to share ideas and thoughts.
Overall, the conference, which may have concluded or probably is in its final, very final stages as we speak this evening, what would you have identified as the major strains of thought, ideas that have emerged from the discussions over these past 2 days?
So this conference's theme this year was around unleashing potentials. As we all know, youth have unbelievable capabilities and unbelievable potentials. However, there's usually contextual blocks, societal blocks, structural blocks that sometimes impede them. And also, we can say that personal blocks and imaginative blocks that sometimes hinder the youth from achieving their potential. So the discussion was how to unlock these kind of hindrances that we may be experiencing. So different workshops and different main hall discussions have taken place. The conference has concluded about half an hour ago. And the primary thought was around creating consciousness and awareness, and moving from this consciousness and awareness into actual movement and into being change actors in societies, and not only thinking of the past and being stuck at particular milestones in the past that may have been quite difficult for many people that have gone through, you know, many difficulties, as we all know. So this is an opportunity for us to identify what blocks have, what hindrances that have taken place, be cognizant of that, but also move forward as quickly as possible.
There is this the interesting deep dive sessions that I see taking place, and you know, just looking at the topic piques one's interest here. Looking at political matters, looking at economics, and master classes along the way. Which amongst those, you know, caught your attention? You were able to attend, and you can share something of those with us this evening.
So again, I think my primary objective was to speak to individuals and people with unique experiences. But I've also managed to attend one or two of the classes. I have an eye out for the political classes. So there was a very interesting conversation around the new political realities that has emerged in the Middle East post the Russian invasion in Ukraine, and how that impacts regional areas in the Middle East, such as the Maghreb, North Africa, the Gulf, and Yemen, quite specifically, and Iraq, of course. So we looked at the discussion focused on each of these of these locations, and identified the different impact that the Russian invasion of Ukraine may have had on this particular region. So that was quite an interesting discussion. We could see that there was a varying level of impact that the Russian invasion of Ukraine had on these regions, And we could also identify or speak about the potential outlook in how these different regions may shape or may be impacted in the future as well.
There's also a few sessions I see that spoke about trends. Now, what were some of the key areas to look out there, and obviously the techniques? I also see some other sessions, for instance, that speak about something that's in the hands of every young person and old person for that matter, social media, but in sculpting the change, how to not just be a follower but utilize, be aware of the power, the new trends in these tools to be able to, for instance, mobilize properly. Anything you can tell us about that?
Of course, again, I did not manage to attend most of these discussions, but what caught my eye was discussions around blockchain, digitalization, issues such as social media as a tool for activism. So there were many tools, and also depends on the interest of this. Not everyone, as myself, is interested in politics per se. People are interested in business development, business innovation, in technology, in economics, in the arts, and there were masterclasses and deep dives into all these various aspects. So people with various interests could find an opportunity to learn about the interest areas and to also share thoughts with people with from the different interest groups. But I think being capable in understanding these new trends in society, such as blockchain and digitalization and being active on social media and how to be change actors through these different platforms was quite an interesting aspect that caught my eye during my presence at the conference.
What about the conference or the Al Sharq model makes you excited, makes you feel that it's not just a talk shop and can contribute to constructive change in the societies which are represented by the young people who have been here?
So as I said, Al Sharq itself is not an organization that has hierarchical or in a traditional sense, an organization in a traditional sense that operates with a developmental project and so on. It's a network, a platform that allows people with their own projects, organizations with their own agendas to come together and to go back into their societies and be change actors. So Al Sharq has, for me, there's two aspects that I fall under Al Sharq, or I'm associated with Al Sharq, which is the fellowship program, the leadership program which I am an alumni of. I graduated from that last year, and also as a hub member from South Africa. So the idea of hubs in different parts of the world, I think you've alluded to the number there, around 21 hubs, if I'm correct, around the world. So each of these hubs will be the representatives of sort in those societies, and try to find like-minded youths within those different hubs and try to act and identify their own projects, also using the tools that Al-Sharq provides, using the wide network it provides around the world, to try and gain the experiences and also try to find solutions for within their own societies.
Two final questions, bringing this discussion and the interactions that you've had closer to home. So firstly, in terms of broader South Africa, you've mentioned a hub that has been present in South Africa. The societal challenges that South Africa as a whole faces, and every now and then when something happens in Sri Lanka, people talk about the propensity or the possibility of that happening in South Africa. There's also this well-worn parallel that has been made so many times, and also critiqued equally, as we had recently by Brother Tembisa Fakude on the show as well, the parallels between the potential of an Arab Spring-like event happening in South Africa. Regardless of all of that, what do you take out of this conference that would be relevant to a South African audience, change challenges in South Africa?
I think one of the key aspects, and I'm very proud of the South African representation at the conference. We had about five members from South Africa. It was very pleasant to see the engagement from the South African community in at the Ashok Forum, at the Ashok Conference in Istanbul. But I think one of the greatest or the one most important things we can take from the event like this for South Africa is that we should begin to re-engage and become more part of the wider world or global events. We've geographically there's a big reason why we're isolated from it, but there's an opportunity now, and we should try to re-engage with this world and not isolate ourselves any longer. There is a massive opportunity for us to be an integral part of change. The world does not operate in vacuum. Events from, as we've seen already and as we know, events from Russia and Ukraine, for instance, have quite direct and significant implications for the rest of the world, including the South and including South Africa being part of that. And we should not just be recipients of this type of change, of these type of events. We should try to be right there at the heart of these events, and trying to be change actors, and trying to engage with different people around the world, different policymakers around the world, to show that South Africa is not this isolated region in the world, and it's just not internally focused. So I think one of the key messages for me personally is how to re-engage, or how to bring back South African activists and South African leaders, society leaders, to be part of this wider movement around the world of trying to with these shared values of social justice and development and progress and so on.
And lastly, talking to our audience, potential audience specifically this evening, in terms of youth work in perhaps the Muslim community itself, student organizations, the MSAs, and the like, any relevance, any perhaps ideas that stem out from the conference that you think would be able to resonate, benefit people in that space?
In actual fact, I think our Muslim organizations in South Africa have a lot to offer for many Muslim organizations around the world. There was a discussion with fellow student leaders from different areas, from different countries around the world, notably France, where we know Muslims experience vast difficulties in expressing themselves and being and just practicing Islam. And I think the Muslim experience in South Africa is something that we can actually take forward and teach others of how, from an apartheid society, and how much limited freedom Muslims experienced in South Africa, and how the transition and change happened, and what the tools of advocacy and activism was used. So I think we actually have something to share with the rest of the world around the South African experience, and how Muslims have been massive influential actors in change in South Africa, and we can potentially share those experiences and share some of those tips. Of course, there's going to be differences, but there is absolutely shared contexts and aspects of how South Africa was able to reimagine its existence into the new democratic era. So our isolation has actually maybe detrimental to the rest of the world, in not showing them our own advocacy and activism and experience that has been quite helpful in South Africa, and could have been the same for elsewhere.
Some would say to that, obviously, that would be a valuable contribution that can be made in terms of the perspective that's shared. But at the same time, perhaps again, it's a generalization in some areas, and it's a reality in others. That spirit of engagement has somehow given way to a degree of apathy in some of these structures that were known to be much more vibrant previously, specifically talking about perhaps youth spaces in the Muslim community. So in terms of that and perhaps the skills of mobilization and the models that can be used to rejuvenate, something there?
Absolutely. There is, of course, a reason why potentially the student movement in South Africa is not as vibrant as it was before, and we can point to various reasons or excuses for why that has happened. But again, there's always confidence in that youth will always identify new opportunities or new problems to try and solve within the South African society at the current stage. The Muslim student movement was part and parcel of the Fees Must Fall movement and has shown us that at any moment it can take charge and can take leadership in these types of situations, right? So it's not a completely absent conversation. It's not a completely absent. It's not completely absent from these types of engagement, but once we start re-engaging with student bodies or organizations that identify around Islam, for instance, they can be an opportunity for collaboration, an opportunity for sharing those types of experiences.
Absolutely. I thank you so much for making the time to speak to us after a busy weekend of engagements and interesting perspectives that we'd further obviously benefit from on your return to South Africa. Bilal, I thank you so much for your time and speaking to us this evening on Radio Islam. Barakallahu feek and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me.